Yesterday we talked about the Nisa Chamayim, so we'll start talking today about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva with a beautiful and justly famous Mishnah, the beginning of the fifth parak. So HaChalil, literally the flute, there were many instruments that were used in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but the Rambam explains that the reason that we single out the Chalil, the flute, is that it was the one that you could hear the best. So that's sort of the signature kli, if you will. Chamisha v'shisha, so it's always either 5 or 6 days, meaning it's not docha Shabbos. So if it's a situation where yantif is shachalios b'shabbos, so then it's going to be 6 days. Any other configuration of the calendar, so you're not going to have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Shabbos or yantif. Now that is a little bit strange, because if you think about it, right, the only problem with using musical instruments on Shabbos or yantif is a shvus, it's a din d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to use a musical instrument because we're afraid it's going to break. And you know how musicians are. If it breaks, so they get tempted to fix it. So that could be an issa d'oraisa. So it's only an issa d'rabbanan. So ein shvus b'mikdash. So certainly if it enhances the avoda, so why shouldn't you be allowed to do that on Shabbos or on Yontif? It's like a very fair question. So the Bali Atosos actually raised that issue. And they respond. They say, really, because it's not part of the avoda. It's mishum simcha yisera, which is exactly the expression that the Rambam uses when he discusses Simchas Beis HaShoeva as well. And he says, since it's not really an intrinsic part of the avoda, so here we'll say that even though it's only nisur derabanan, it should stand in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a really fascinating idea, because you could have made a very strong argument that it's really midin avoda. It's part of the avoda. The Rambam, when he talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is one of the most famous lines in the Yadach Hazaka. He says, "Simcha sheyisma achadam ve'asiyas hamitzvah." And in fact, he quotes the pasuk that we just read in Parshas Kisavo, that why does the tochacha come? Tachas asher lo avatas Hashem elkecha b'simcha v'tuv levav meirov kol. He says a person who doesn't involve themselves in simcha, roi li pareya mimenu. It's a very serious form of avoda. So it's an important question. Okay, so Tosfos gives the answer that the answers that I related. Zoe chalol shel beis hashoeva shenadochal as a Shabbos v'as a yantif. Amru, they said, this is the line, Kol mishalo ra simchas beis hashoeva. If you never saw the simchas beis hashoeva, lo ra simcha miyamav, then you never saw simcha your whole life. Which means that for the rest of us, everybody here, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen the real thing. The simchas beis hashoeva, that was true joy. It's fascinating. In the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, there's a discussion, like, you know, why was that the case? What was so special about it? And there's different approaches. And the pasuk which is quoted is the pasuk from Yeshayahu that we all know very well from the Havdalah. Shavta mayim v'sason mimayonei ha-Yeshua. And we mentioned yesterday that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as joyous as it was, is also very serious at the same time, because it's all related to this idea of bechag nidonim alamayim, that people feel that their lives are hanging in the balance. You know, when we say Geshem, we daven for Eretz Yisrael, we keep them in mind, but it's hard to feel that way here entirely. But it was very intensive. There was a dialectical aspect to the experience of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Ushavta mayim v'sason mimaynei ha-Yeshua appears in the context in the psukim of Hinei kel Yeshua siyav tach v'lo efchad, about having emunah that things are going to work out. So the fact that this is a time of great joy, but also a time of great trepidation, what's going to be with rains in the coming year, this admixture together is a very fascinating thing. So the Mishnah says, b'motzai yom tov harishon shel chag, yardu les rosh nashim u'mitaknin sham tikkun gadol. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean a tikkun gadol? What kind of a takana gadola would they make? So they explained that they would actually build up a balcony. So the Ezra Snashim, like you had this, not so many contemporary shuls are designed this way, but it's almost universal at a certain point in terms of shul architecture, is based on this idea. So the Gemara explains that, of course, if there's going to be such joy, it'd be totally inappropriate for there to be mixing of the genders. So they had to build a balcony because it was important that the women should be able to participate. That's what's referred to here in the Mishnah as a tikkun gadol that would save the people from various averus. People know the minhag that some people have, the tainis of Bahab, after the regalim. The origin of that is the same way, that because in the regalim, b'samachta b'chagecha, where there's simcha, sometimes people get out of hand. That's the truth of human nature. So you have to make sure that when it gets out of hand, it doesn't get really out of hand, and you have problems. So menorah shel zav hayusham, v'arba sfalim shel zav v'roshein, v'arba sulamos l'chol echad v'echad. So the menorahs were elevated on these great stands, and there were four ladders, v'arba yiladim yipirchei kuhuna, and these four kids who were kohanim, they would be able to climb the ladders. They would have jugs of oil, shalmeya ve'eshrim log, massive amount of oil, like 15 liters approximately, shein matilin l'chol safal v'safal, that they would pour down the chutes to keep these menorahs burning. And just the next Mishnah, mi b'lai mechnesei kohanim mehem neyen, mehen ayu mafkin. When they made the wicks for these gigantic menorahs that would light up, literally light up the night, so they used to make them from the big day kahuna. Not the big day kuna gedola, but they used to take the worn out pants, the mechnesayim of the kohanim, and the avnet, and they used to break them down into wicks. In fact, Pasuk says in Shoftim, in Perek Dalet, that Devorah Eshes Lapidos, that Devorah was the wife of Lapidos. So the Gemara says, Lapidos, she used to take the big day kahuna, and she used to actually produce the wicks. So one of the fascinating things here is how are you allowed to do this exactly, right? These, big day kahuna, they have kedusha, right? Associated with them. So there's a principle that we have in the halacha of ein lecha davar shenaseis mitzvaso umo'alin bo, that once the mitzvah has been completed, once it's worn out, so then there's no din of me'ila. The kedusha goes away. There are only three exceptions to that rule in halacha. I won't get into two of them right now, but one of them is actually the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur. Those are b'kedushas and heimomdim. They never go anywhere. But the regular big day Kohen Hayehetiot, they could be used not for any purpose whatsoever, a bizayon, but here this is a tzarech hamikdash, so they actually used to use it for the menorah. V'henayu madlikin, such a beautiful image. V'halo haisa chatzar b'Yerushalayim, she'ena me'ira me'or beis ha'sho'eva, that you didn't need lights in Yerushalayim during these nights. You wouldn't need it because Yerushalayim was like radiated. It was illuminated by the lights of the beis ha'sho'eva. So you can imagine just walking through Yerushalayim at night, and it would be like it was daytime. To have that experience like they had by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, Vaya'er es halayla, that the night became like light. You're walking around, what a surreal experience it is. Personally, I had it in a different situation, not in the joyous case. When I was learning in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva, there was a very significant pigua 10 minutes down the road on a Leil Shabbos of all Shabbosos. And I experienced Vayar Les Halayla. There were so many army helicopters and flares going overhead that it was like walking, literally 11 o'clock at night, it was like walking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a surreal experience to be literally in the nighttime and say it's bright as daylight. There's just so much ambient light. So you have a little bit of a hasaga, what the Mishnah means, that you'd be in Yerushalayim, it'd be Cholamoed, you'd be walking around at 11 o'clock at night, and because of these menorahs, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you could begin to understand a little bit of what the Mishnah meant, of Mishalo Ra Simcha Beis HaShoeva, Lo Ra Simcha,